Welcome to the Layer 8 podcast. This podcast is in conjunction with the Layer 8 conference, which is happening for the third year on Saturday, June 6th, 2020 in Providence, Rhode Island. The Layer 8 conference is the first one to solely focus on social engineering and open source intelligence, or OSINT, gathering. Social engineers and OSINT investigators always seem to have a great story, and you can hear many of those stories through their presentations at the conference. But not every story can fill a whole presentation, and not all storytellers can get to the conference, which brings us here. This podcast will only be stories told by the investigators themselves. No interviews, no slides, just stories. Some might be as short as 5 minutes, some may even go for 45 minutes. I hope you'll enjoy them. For this episode, we have Matthias Wilson, also known as MWOSINT on Twitter, and owner of the keyfindings.blog site. Matthias is in Germany, where the default is to trust no one and privacy is the utmost concern. Matthias takes us through how he was able to combine social engineering and OSINT to find out if a given business address was legit or something a little more shady. Take it away, Matthias.
Hi, I'm Matthias, or also known as MWOSINT on Twitter, and I would like to share a short story about social engineering and OSINT in Germany. Many of you have heard stories and read about things in the U.S., in other countries, and I think it is very important to kind of keep in mind that each culture is different, and that also has a big effect on how we conduct our OSINT work and social engineering. And to kind of explain what I mean, I came up with the story, or actually something that I did quite a while ago, when I was conducting some due diligence on a certain company. So the idea was to basically research company structures to figure out who's behind these companies, see where they have stakes, who's the main shareholder, just everything you do in a normal due diligence process. Now, if I were in the US, I would use lots of different databases to obtain information on the company, on the individuals, but unfortunately in Germany, it's a bit different. Sometimes I refer to Germany as kind of a digital desert. We're a couple years back when it comes to a lot of the databases, a lot of the digital access, so we have to find other ways to actually obtain the information we need. One of them could actually be going out and having a look at things and, you know, actually trying to get access to certain people or certain buildings, certain structures to find out more. And this, of course, is commonly referred to as social engineering. Now, as you all will all know, one of the most important things about social engineering is actually all the preparatory work that goes into it. So, you know, figuring out how to get into a place, figuring out which people to talk to, just a whole bunch of things that you have to keep in mind and have to do. And this, in general, is done with OSINT, or social media intelligence, SOCMINT. Now, when I speak about Germany, just to give you an example of how challenging it is to actually get things like this done, let's say I want to gain access to a certain building, like the one that I'm investigating. Now, the first step you would usually do is actually go to Google Street View, for example, and just have a look at the building at that place. How can you get in? How can you get there? Just all this information that is on Google Street View on these images. The problem in Germany is Google Street View stopped in 2009. So the latest images I would get in Germany are from 2009, and especially living in a larger city like Munich or Berlin or Hamburg, things have changed in the past 10 years. So this is the first step that leads us away from the work we do at our desk out into the real world. So just to get the information on this building and how to get there and how to get in, we have to leave our desk, go outside and have a look. So that's kind of the difference between Germany and many, many other countries out there, because we do not have the Google Street View coverage. Now you might ask, why is this? The main reason is we're kind of the motherland of data protection and data privacy. Germans, as many other Northern European cultures, we're very suspicious of strangers and other people. We don't really want them in our lives. We, you know, try to build our little safe bubble. We're quite nice and friendly to people we know, but we're suspicious about strangers. So we're not as outgoing, as friendly, or as embracing as other cultures. So this in OSINT proves to be a challenge, And later on, you'll see this might be a challenge when we actually go into the whole social engineering part. So starting off with Google Street View, which didn't really help us out in this case, or it didn't help me out in this case, I actually had to leave the desk and go look at that building for myself, which was a nice Saturday morning walk. I just went by it and I saw that the actual building that I wanted to investigate was a nice town villa, 19th century, with like a little garden outside. And in front of that garden, there was a big fence and a big gate and no way to possibly get in there or even like take pictures of anything. Now, why would I want to get into this building? Well, in this specific case, I was looking into a company. I stumbled upon an address of another company that was maybe related to the one that I was investigating, but I wasn't really sure. And basically, all I had was an address. So what I wanted to do is figure out if this was just a shell company, so if we just had like a mailbox hanging in this building, or if there was actually business conducted there. And from then on, based on the answer that I would get, I would know how to redirect my further research. So after seeing this building, and after seeing that it was not really possible to get inside, to get images of inside, or to actually even see the mailboxes, which were also all hanging inside, I had to find a way to gain access to this building. Again, we have to think about the fact that I'm in Germany, and people are very suspicious of strangers. So average social engineering approaches might not work here. And if you do a social engineering approach, it has to be watertight. So one of the ideas was, you know, to pose as a parcel service, just show up there, ring the bell, and, you know, try to gain entrance to this building. Now, the issue here is you have to have a lot of props for that. You have to have a uniform, you have to have a package scanner, and speaking in military terms, because I have a military background, you have to have a clean infiltration, but even more important, a clean exfil. So, you know, what happens if that person decides to open the package right in front of you and figures out there's nothing in there? So that was one of the issues that I thought about. After gaining access, how can I get out as quick as possible and as clean as possible? And at the same time, since it was a fairly large building, I did not know that the company that I would try to use to gain access would actually be the one that I wanted to investigate. Are they on the same floor? Are they somewhere in one of the houses behind the one that I had seen? So again, lots and lots of problems trying to get in here. So the first thing that I would do, again, is go back to my desk and conduct some OSINT. I looked into this address and figured out that there was a law firm settled there, a investment management company, and an advertising company. And so I had to think of some way to actually gain access to the building through one of those firms that were stationed there. Now, for the law firm, I thought I could pose as a client, and which is something that I actually tried, but it turned out that I wouldn't be able to get a short-term appointment, and I would have to have a really big pretext, so a really big cover story, to actually approach them and then get inside. And then one of the problems could have been they would pick me up at the gate, take me to their office, and I would have no chance to go wandering off. And that's not what I wanted. I wanted to basically have freedom of movement, just walk around, and possibly also take pictures. So this is the next thing that I had to think about, is actually getting the evidence that I needed. How would I get the pictures that I need? Should I use some kind of hidden camera, which usually has crappy quality? And at the same time, based on the legal boundaries we have in Germany, if we were ever to use this information in court, it will be quite challenging using footage from a hidden camera. So again, I had to get in touch with my client, say, hey, do you actually need something you can use in court? Or do you need something that I would just put into the report for you guys? And the answer was, well, it has to be court worthy. So that kind of ruled out the whole hidden camera thing. So many, many things to think about. Basically, when doing this kind of research, I would sit down with like a gigantic checklist and just go through all the things that I have to think about, all the things that I have to do, then start my OSINT work, my pretexting, to figure out how to get in there. So I kind of ruled out the law firm. Then I looked at the advertising company. And to be honest, I had no idea how to approach them other than being a Parcel Service employee, which I ruled out earlier. And the investment management company was one that was so big and handled so much money, I could not have built a pretext to show up as the rich person that they would have expected to show up there. So I kind of, put the companies aside and thought, is there any other way to get in there? Is there any other thing about that building that is special that might make it easier for me to get inside? And while actually just Googling the address, it was as simple as that, I found a Wikipedia article on this building. And apparently this building was built by some very, very famous German architect in the 19th century. And I was like, okay, so maybe this is something. Maybe I could use this guy and him being famous and this being one of his early works, one of his first buildings, to actually do something with that information. Maybe pose as press, doing like a, I don't know, an article on this architect or something like that. And that evening when I found this information, I was actually watching the Big Bang Theory, How I Met Your Mother, one of my favorite sitcoms. And if you guys don't know, but one of the main characters is Ted Mosby, and he's an architect. And later on in the show, he becomes an architecture professor at some university. So I thought, hey, I'm going to give it a try with this, because if I take his character, and I know a lot about his character, all I have to do is learn a little bit about the style of architecture of that building, combine those two pieces of information, and then I could basically pose as a credible architecture professor without using any props. And it just seemed so crazy to me that it might work. So I sat down and I started writing my pretext. I actually handwrite all this, so I memorized the things better. And I went into a lot of research about the period of architecture of that time. And that building was built in the historicism style. So basically trying to reenact like ancient Greek, ancient Roman architecture styles. And I learned a lot about that. Most of it I've forgotten now, but for those two or three days, I could tell you a lot about historicism and that famous architect. So the next step was how to use all this information to get inside. And I thought, well, one of the most important things in social engineering is whenever you interact with someone, you have to make them feel like they're taking the initiative, like they're in control and they're in charge of things. But in fact, you're in control of everything. So I didn't want to go there and just ring the doorbell and say, hey, it's me, I'm the architecture professor, and I'd like to take pictures of this house because this is going to be part of my next lecture. That was the pretext I had. So I went there in the morning around 8-ish, thinking that that was the time that most people that work there would drive in and out of the building, and I'd just be lurking around the building in plain sight, taking pictures, and hoping for someone to approach me and ask me, why are you doing this? So again, I didn't want to approach them myself. I wanted them to approach me and then give them the feeling that they were in charge of things and that they approached me and they basically had or took the initiative. And lucky enough, that actually worked. So after standing around in front of the building for about 5 to 10 minutes, taking many pictures from the outside, this guy walks up to the gate and asks me, so what are you doing here? And then I just went through my pretext. Yeah, I'm this architecture professor at the university in a town that I come from, so I kind of knew my way around there. And I'm preparing a lecture on the historicism architecture style of the 19th century, and it turns out that this building is one of the early works of this famous German architect. And in order to, give my class, my students, a better feeling of the style, the architecture, all the different elements, I wanted to get close-up pictures that I can display in the lecture and really show them and point out what was important to me. And that apparently impressed the guy because he said, okay, just, walk on in. I'll give you a tour. I'll show you around. And the next thing I didn't expect, and I did a lot of preparation on this, and I was fairly confident to get inside, but sometimes in investigations, you also need a portion of luck. And I was very lucky with this because it turns out that the guy that let me in was the actual owner of the house. And he was like the great, great, great grandson of this famous architect. And he was so happy that someone was interested in one of his ancestors that he basically, you know, gave me a tour and said, you know, you just walk around, take pictures as much as you want. So yeah, that's basically what I did. Walked around the house, took pictures. I wasn't able to access the offices themselves, but I was able to walk around, peep through the windows, see if there were people working there, get some nice pictures of what was going on inside. And at the end of the day, that kind of led to the information that I needed. So basically figuring out that the company that I was researching was just a shell company. So all they had was a little mailbox hanging in there, and it was somewhere inside the building away from the other offices, something that I couldn't have accessed. It also turned out that there were additional names on that mailbox, something that I would have never found out through OSINT, because the German company register and also many, many other company databases do not allow you to search by address. So you have to know the name of the company, you have to have their company registration number, the shareholders, the director, but searching for an address will not lead you anywhere. So I took really nice pictures of all that. So I had proof, I had evidence that this was how it looked, this was the mailbox, these were the names. And with that information, I could actually go back to my desk, to my office, and start doing research on all these companies. Not by address, of course, but then by name. It actually turned out, and this was the very interesting thing, that there were one or two companies listed on that mailbox that I had actually not stumbled upon before during my investigations. But having those names and being able to look them up in the official company registers, I found out that they were actually linked to the CEO of the company I was actually investigating. Either he was a shareholder in one of these companies or he was a director in one of these companies. In any case, I basically used OSINT to enable social engineering and then that social engineering information to kind of go back to my desk and do OSINT again. So for me, kind of a perfect example of the intelligence cycle. I mean, that's why you call it a cycle. It doesn't have a starting point and an end point. One piece of information always leads to the next piece of information. The cool thing that also came out of this is, you know, from this starting point, as simple as it was, I was able to unravel a whole network of shell companies and I assume tax evasion, tax fraud, because there's not really a good reason, at least not in Germany, to have such a big shell company structure, which we could present to our client at the end of the day. And basically, you know, show them the red flags we had stumbled upon. And I'm pretty sure that after the work that I had done together with my colleagues and after the report that we had put together, that company had second thoughts about the business engagement they were going to have. So basically, to kind of wrap it all up, this was an investigation where you have to keep in mind how Germans are and how the German culture is. And based on that, you can, you know, build your pretext, you can do your investigations. And at the end of the day, it's a lot more than just, you know, using a database or walking by and taking a picture. There are so many different things to do. Now, one thing that I would also like to point out, just to give you another example of how suspicious Germans are, before I went to that company, I did try to get on the phone with one of the firms that were actually located there, and I tried to ask some questions, but as Germans are suspicious, I didn't really have a good cover story, and they would basically end the conversations on the phone within a minute. So it was, hey, I'm this and this guy, and I'm inquiring about the company next door because I heard that the rooms are going up for rent, and do you know anything about it? And the answer was always no, no matter how good I was on the phone, it never worked. I even had one of my female colleagues come in with a really nice and soothing voice, and I thought, okay, that might help, you know, putting her on the phone with some guy, and it didn't work either because that's just how Germans are. So if you want to conduct OSINT or social engineering in Germany, you have to have a good lifelike pretext, a good character. You have to keep in mind that you need a clean infiltration, but also a clean exfiltration to get out of there. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is actually finding that information that is relevant. So that was my short story on social engineering OSINT in a country where people might not be so friendly and outgoing as the US or Holland, for example. Just some of the things that I've stumbled upon. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope I wasn't too short. And I'm looking forward to listening all to all of the new podcasts that Patrick and Layer 8 will put out in the future. Thank you.
Great stuff, Matthias. Thank you for sharing your story. You can find Matthias on Twitter at MWOSINT, MWOSINT, and more of his stories at keyfindings.blog. And thank you for listening to the Layer 8 podcast. If you want to learn more about us, you can check us out at Layer8Conference.com or on Twitter